Good evening. Welcome to the Fort Recovery Community Thanksgiving Service from the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church. I'm Rob Weaver this evening here at the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church, hoping that you enjoy tonight's broadcast of this annual Community Thanksgiving Service here in Fort Recovery, Ohio. First up, you'll be hearing Pastor Jim Stillwell here at the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church. He'll give the welcome and opening. You'll also be hearing Dave Nicholson from the First Church of Christ, Pastor Q from Christ Chapel, Robin Owen from Trinity Lutheran Church, and Brad and Kate Ratliff from the Church of the Nazarene. So stay tuned. Just momentarily, the Community Thanksgiving Service from the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church.
Well, good evening, church. It is a pleasure for us to have you join us this evening for this Ministerial Association's Thanksgiving service on this beautiful night that God has given to us. We'd like to rejoice and be glad in that. We are simulcast broadcasting this right now on WPGW 100.9, and I wish to thank our sponsors for tonight's service. Kalb's Pharmacy, Wayne Oil, and the St. Henry Bank are all sponsoring this time that we are able to lift up this service through the means of broadcast. And I'd like to read a roll call tonight. From the First Church of Christ, we have David Nicholson is a pastor there. Who else is from First Church tonight? Thank you all for being with us tonight. And then from Christ Chapel, Quentin Essa is here as our one of our musicians tonight. Anyone from Christ Church here tonight? You guys know you're being recognized that way now. He knows you're here. from Trinity Lutheran, Robin Owens, pastor. Robin's far, far away right now, is what I understand. So is she still overseas? Yeah. So she's probably not listening. But I think she told me she would pray for us tonight. We have from the Church of the Nazarene, we have both Brad and Kate Ratliff, and Kate's back here on the piano, and she's going to be doing some vocals and stuff with us tonight, and with Quentin and with Brad, and we're just really pleased for that. And Brad's taking care of Judah in the back there, so we want to keep him happy. Pastor David Poroth is the senior pastor of the Coldwater Parish. Pastor David this evening is at Holy Trinity doing the Thanksgiving service there as we do a switch back and forth between Holy Trinity and Coldwater United Methodist. I am Pastor Jim Stillwell, and I'm the associate pastor with the Coldwater Parish. I serve the Fort Recovery Church, the Erastus Church, and occasionally the Coldwater United Methodist Church. We wish to thank all of you here that you've come tonight to be with us, and we just want to praise God that you're here. A little housekeeping before we get started, just so you know what's going on. The restrooms for the church are in the fellowship hall, and to get there, you would go through this door over here by the American flag. There's some cords on the floor for the microphones and things, so if you have to go through there, please be careful. There's a step up as you go into that room, a slight one, and then there's some steps down as you go into the fellowship hall. There's a handrail there for you just for your safety, so please just be careful with that. And as we close our service tonight, all are invited to come share some refreshments with us, and we'll be having that in the fellowship hall as well. With all that being said, I invite you to, maybe we'll do this in place. I don't know what your traditions are in your church. Before, we would have gotten up and walked around and hugged everybody for our passing the signs of peace, but a little pandemic put the quell on that. So I just invite you to turn to the people next to you and offer them the signs of peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, brother. Yeah, Ed, he'll shake hands with anybody. Our first hymn for selection this evening is Come Ye Thankful People Come. It's found in the United Methodist Hymnal on page 694, or the words will be on the screen above my head. invite you now to join with me in our call to worship, which is inspired by Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that makes us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Hymn number 140, As Great is Thy Faithfulness. Jill Walter will lead us in our prayer for others and God's provisions. Jill?
God, like the Israelites in the wilderness, we too have known your love and experienced your care and provision. You invite us to extend that love to the world around us, to care for others as deeply as we care for ourselves. And so we bring the needs of our world before you now. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the many who do not have enough food to eat or shelter to keep warm, enough unemployment or money to pay their bills, enough medicine or medical care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray for those who have more than enough, but who still struggle to find meaning and purpose in life, who indulge in dangerous or self-serving activities to dull their pain or loneliness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, your grace reaches out to all of us. You call us to live as citizens of heaven, working together with one heart and mind. Strengthen us to live in a manner worthy of the good news we have received, offering our lives in service of your kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, and there is grace enough for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, let us pray the prayer that the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. Our first scripture reading tonight comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy. It is chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. The annual harvest festival called the Feast of Weeks provides the setting for today's reading. This festival celebrates the first fruits of the produce of the land, offered back to God in thanks. As they bring their offerings, worshipers remembered and proclaimed God's gracious acts on behalf of Israel.
Hello, I am Pastor Q, as I'm usually known around these parts, and I'm from Christ Chapel. And God's word says this: when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household.
Thank you, Kim. David Nicholson will bring us the gospel lesson this evening, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19.
As Jesus continued on the way to Jerusalem, he passed along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a particular village, 10 lepers met him, standing at a distance. They called out, Jesus, Master, please have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. On their way there, they were healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned to Jesus, shouting praises to God. He fell down at Jesus' feet, thanking him. He was a Samaritan. Weren't 10 lepers healed? Jesus asked. Where are the other 9? Didn't anyone else come back to praise God? Only this foreigner? Jesus told the man, get up and go on your way. Your trust has healed you. Thank you.
Well, good evening, church. It is a beautiful day God has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Tonight's message is with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. According to Dr. Eleanor Canarthy, an average person has more than 200 negative thoughts in a day. Worries, jealousies, insecurities, cravings, forbidden things. The list could go on and on and on. Depressed people have as many as 600. We can't eliminate all those troublesome things that go through our minds, but we can reduce the number of negative thoughts by changing our focus. Paul begins this section of his letter to the church with this way: therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. He goes on to tell us to rejoice in all things and in things that are pleasing, that we count to be good, but in all things. How many of us do just that? Rejoice in all things. Give thanks to God when we are right where we are in the moment of time when we wish that we were somewhere else. I found myself in that situation where it would be easier to say, God, why? Why this illness? Why that person? Why all the hate and sorrow in the world? But I found that it helps me to far more continue by saying and praying of thanksgiving to God for God to be my companion in that moment that I'm in. The prophet Habakkuk was one of those who sought out God for understanding about the terrible times that he lived in. The land of Judah was overrun by an outside power, and it seemed bleak and foreboding for all the people. But God, it should be noted here that it was by their own actions and that the destruction was to come. They did it to themselves. They followed the wrong path. They did things that they wanted to do and didn't follow where God was sending them. Turning away from God never gives us gratification for very long. The time will come when we will have to address our self-centeredness. Habakkuk faces this all the failings of the people around him, but he can still turn to God with praise and with thanksgiving. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet feel like the feet of a deer. He makes me tread upon the heights. So in this season of thanksgiving, do we have a joyful heart of thanks, or are we looking for our blessings before we give praise to God? The 10 lepers from Luke's reading this morning found their healing as a blessing, but only one knew enough to return to Jesus and give him praise and thanks for what he had done. And Paul cries out to us, if we have ears to hear, that we should rejoice in the Lord. Again, he says, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. 14 years ago, I had the occasion to preach these verses on saying thanks and praising God in all situations. It was not long after that I lost both of my parents due to aging. My mom passed away on Memorial Day weekend, and my father passed away on Labor Day weekend after I had spent the summer ministering to him while he was in Nashville, Tennessee, in the hospital. I witnessed with him and prayed for his salvation. Both of my parents were 83. I am sure where my mom is. She was a blessed child of God and believed in Jesus Christ. And my dad had turned that corner in his life and gave his life, whatever was left of it, to Jesus. But it was not their passing that led me to select the Philippians verses 4 through chapter 4, 4 through 9. My verses on that Saturday came to me through the lectionary. That's the structure that we used to at the time to follow through the Bible on a pattern that would take us through the readings of the Bible over a period of 3 years. It just so happened that that Sunday, those verses landed on the page before me. I have been until more recently a follower of that lectionary. I've changed a little bit of my preaching since I came back to Ohio to live. So I come to look at that Sunday's choice as not mine, but God's. I needed to hear it as much as my congregation needed to hear from Paul and his message to the church at Philippi. It was what I have to call a God moment, a Holy Spirit encounter. Lord Jesus, here I am moment. What I found out on that Sunday was that even if we don't think so, and we struggle with all with having these guilt thoughts and confusion about our faith on a pretty regular basis. Again, Dr. Kanarthy says the average person has 200 negative thoughts a day. All those things like worries and, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow and those insecurities we have about what our grandchildren are doing or our children are doing. Cravings forbidden things. Things that mass media puts on our plate in front of us, and we say, do I really need that? Sure, I know I bought the car last year, but I can buy another one this year, right? They tell me I can. And depressed people have 600 or more. What I want us to take away from the text this evening is that even in those times of doubt and an insecurity, we have a place where we can turn and where we can see another side of the world around us. It is more than tough in today's world to see the hope that we're supposed to see. I would want everyone I meet to see the shining face of a child of God. But there are days when I too give pause and wonder, why today, God? It is then I'm reminded of Paul saying in his letter, we are to rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice and let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and through supplication, give thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. We are given the answer to our doubts and our fears. It is found in the Lord. We are given the answer to our hope and to all of our prayers. It is found in the Lord. And we are given the answer to the greatest question of all, to whom do we belong? And that too is found in our Lord. So in this season of Thanksgiving, before it is glossed over by the bright signs of Black Friday and the Christmas rush, take a moment to do just what Paul suggests. Give thanks to God. Take a moment to review the things that have brought the reason to say, with all my heart and soul, I thank you, God, for the great things that you have done. Open yourself up to receiving that message and take it home with you. Too often we rush from house to house and we sit down surrounded by friends and family and gobble up turkey and dressing and, of course, pies and all other kinds of things before it's time to settle down in our stomachs. We turn around and go somewhere else, and then we have a furious day of shopping ahead of us. Give it rest. Give God thanks for your blessings. Take the time and the moment to breathe it in. One of my most memorable Thanksgivings came last year as I was in the service in Washington, D.C. I was in the Navy and stationed there back in the 70s. And on the last Thanksgiving that we had together as a command, there was a group of us that had been together for over 3 years. There were about 20 of us all together. We did our last Thanksgiving together. We decided not to travel home that year, but instead we would all get together and do a carry-in, you call it, in this area up in Michigan. We called them potlucks, but that's what it was for us. I still remember everybody bringing something they called a favorite dish from home, something from California, something from deep south Georgia, something from upstate New York, from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and the middle of Montana. My roommates was Vince, Stu, and Augie. We all shared the biggest house, so we had the room for everyone. So we were the hosts. Vince and I started in the morning with getting the turkeys in. We had 2 20-pound turkeys for the day. I can truthfully say that we all knew that this was more than just a day to stuff the turkeys and ourselves. It was a day that we felt our being together was a joyful day of thanks. None of us, as I remember at that time, would have called ourselves very religious, but we all felt the reverence of that moment. We all had something to express our thanks for. As months wore on, it seemed that one or two of would reach the end of service time and move on to a new duty station, but many, like myself, moved on to just another place, another adventure. That was truly a time to giving thanks and joy for all God had done. And I believe that as I have matured in my faith, I can now see that the gathering was God's prevenient grace for each of us. There was sadness as we all realized this would be the last time we would all see each other together. But there was also joy in knowing that we could all be together one last time. Matthew Henry's commentary on this text goes, "It is our duty and our privilege to rejoice in God and to rejoice in Him always and at all times, in all conditions, even when we suffer for Him or are afflicted by Him. We must not think the worse of Him or of His ways for our hardships we meet within His service. There is enough in God to furnish each of us with a matter for joy, and even in the worst circumstances on earth." Paul said it before in Philippians 3:1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." He says it again, "Rejoice in the Lord, always." And again, I say rejoice. Joy in God is a duty of great consequence of the Christian life, and Christians need to be again and again called to it. If good men do not continually feast, it is their own fault. Matthew Henry's closing words to this point are these. Summing it all up, friends, I say to you, you'll do your best by filling your minds with meditating upon the true things, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you in His most excellent harmonies. I would tell you that it is not easy to think about all of the good things in our lives, simply because each day seems to bring with it things that will try our patience and give us reason to doubt. Remember, every day the average person has two or more thoughts that do not fall in the categories Paul would have us meditate on. That being recognized, then I would say that at least start your day by giving thanks to God and praise, and ask God to bring you more reasons to be thankful for. Conference teacher and preacher Tony Campello, a Christian socialist, in a message that he brought to the School of Pastors in Michigan, shared his morning routine. Upon waking from a night's sleep, he spends the next 20 minutes or so giving thanks to God that he's still able to move his hands and feet, that he's able to breathe in and breathe out the life-giving air of God's Spirit. Each step he goes through is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for what God has done in his life. He closes his morning ritual with a prayer asking God to make him, Tony Campello, a useful servant in the world that day. He asks for the presence of God's Holy Spirit to be with him and to guide him that he might be an instrument of God's redeeming grace in the world. Tony's morning routine does not guarantee that he will not encounter negative experiences during his day. I would say that it might even expose him to some, because the devil will try to derail Tony's good deeds. But what it does is to build up in him the resolve to start the day with thoughts of God's goodness and grace. He begins by meditation on just the things that Paul writes about. Finally, brothers, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to close this evening with this final thought. I would suppose that most everyone here tonight will later this week gather with their family and friends for a Thanksgiving Day event, a meal together, or maybe just dessert and coffee. It is my prayer and wish for each of you that in the moments that you gather together, that you will take time to express your grateful thanks to God for all God has done in your lives. Thank God for the good. Thank God for being there in the bad. Embrace and the warmth of your loving Father as each of you remember just who you are and to whom you belong. And do not be afraid to accept the moment that you have been given. Do not worry about anything but in everything, in prayer and with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. For God will answer your prayers. God will always be faithful in everything he does for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and wonderful God, we offer you our prayers of praise and thanksgiving. We know that even when we doubt, you do not withhold from us what we need. You, O God, have blessed us beyond anything that we might imagine. So let us rejoice and give you our praise. Through your Holy Spirit and with your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, all honor and glory are yours, O God, God of us all. Amen. Brother David is going to bring us a word about our offering this evening.
I'd like to, those of you here, call your attention to the back of the bulletin there, that the what we've done this year financially. Every year we give out scholarships. This year we were able to give out four $250 scholarships. It says two are pending, now one. I got the receipt from the college. We do not send the scholarships to the individuals. We send them to the college or university, the school directly. So they go directly into the student's account. So we have one pending yet, and we also switched to a credit union. We went to a 501c3. The bank was said that we had to maintain, the banks in town, we had to maintain in our account anywhere from $500 to $1,000 without being monthly charges. The credit union is $5. So money given, we decided as ministers, when money is given to the association, we don't want to hole up $1,500 in an account when somebody needs their electric bill paid or something like that, and $5 keeps the account open. So Jim is also a co on it now. So there's now two for the first time that are on the account. So that makes it nice in transition or anything like that that would take place. If you would like to donate, please, if you make a checkout, those on the air listening, you can make it out to Fort Recovery Ministerial Association and send it to Post Office Box 356 here at Fort Recovery. And I'll receive that and we'll get that into the bank. So I do appreciate your support. We helped several families this year already with the gas. One was rent. Electric was getting ready to be turned off, so we paid the electric bill. Again, we do not give individuals money. I need to have a bill and show they really do need it. So it goes directly to either the electric or gas or whoever for those individuals. So your money is being used locally and to help students as well. So I appreciate your support. If you have questions, you can ask any of us about that. I'd like to read from, again, our offering is gathered for a mission of the church as it is represented by the Assembly, the Collective Churches of Fort Recovery, Ohio. It'll be used for our scholarship program and for the care of those in need. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, as we do come at this time, we do want to give thanks for the blessings that we receive. The greatest blessing was given through your Son, and the hope that we have that this world is not the end, but only the beginning of a possibility of being with you, and the hope that we have to be in your presence forever. And so, Father, as we come and offering is taken tonight, it is a gift to you and to be used to help others as your Son came to help and to show the way, the love that you have. May our love be expressed through it to show your love to others. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Let's give Quentin and Kate just a Thanksgiving round of applause here. They did a beautiful job tonight. Thank you both for being here and taking care of us and giving us that music, because it is a joy. The Fort Recovery Ministerial Association gives praise and thanks to all who have attended here this evening and all who are listening to this service. It is with a glad heart that we're able to come together each year at Thanksgiving and at Good Friday to celebrate how God is working in our lives. I ask you now, as we close this evening, to join us in the fellowship hall. We have some refreshments there. We hope everybody can come back and help us eat the plethora of cookies we have. So we have to eat them all, or, you know, we have to eat them all. So, as we prepare for this evening and as we prepare for the rest of this week, go in peace. Offer your hope, show your faith, give your love to God's people. Do it all in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that doesn't conclude the Fort Recovery Community Thanksgiving service from the Fort Recovery United Methodist Church. Again, we thank you for listening. Also, a special thanks to our radio sponsors who made it possible for us to broadcast the Community Thanksgiving service, as we have done now for many, many years. That would include Calp's Pharmacy here in Fort Recovery, also the fine folks at the St. Henry Bank, and Wayne Oil here in Fort Recovery as well. We thank you for listening. Nate Crispin's been our studio producer back at the radio station in Portland. I'm Rob Weaver saying good night from the Fort Recovery Community Thanksgiving Service.
WPGW AM and FM, Portland.